Shall read, please, again in the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now the book of the Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26 and verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now the book of the Revelation in chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Finally, 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now the Lord will bless what we have read with what we have heard in this gospel meeting tonight. And we trust we'll get help from God to sound out the gospel from these scriptures that we have read. I would like tonight to speak on tragic events or sudden happenings, things that have taken place that are very tragic, that are very sad. About 5 years ago, a nephew of ours in Northern Ireland, he joined the UDA, that's the Ulster Defence Regiment, UDR. Those young men are warned never to open or answer a knock at the front door. One Friday night he came home after being out all day. At 6 o'clock a knock came to the door. He went to answer it. He opened the door, and someone fired 6 bullets into his body. Now that's a tragedy. That's an awful thing. That's a terrible happening that took place. He staggered back in the living room. His wife ran from the kitchen, and she caught him just as his soul was entering eternity. I would like tonight to speak on tragedy from these scriptures that we have read. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1, we have one of the most solemn verses in all the Bible. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The tragedy of sudden death, after being dealt with by God. We have read from Acts chapter 26, the tragedy of coming near salvation and missing it. Agrippa was almost persuaded to trust Christ, but he missed it. Then, friend, that most solemn scripture of all, Revelation chapter 20, the scene at the great white throne judgment, where the unsaved dead, they're all going to stand, and then finally, to be cast into the lake of fire. Can you think tonight of anything, a greater tragedy, than for a precious soul to be cast into the lake of fire forever? Who are they? Those that sat in gospel meetings? Those that have had the opportunity of salvation? Yet they missed it. It wasn't all important to them then. But now the final end, banished from God forever and ever. I wonder, is there a soul in our gathering tonight? And my friend, you are going to experience being cast into the lake of fire if you continue on in your sin. And if you die in your sin, you will certainly experience the everlasting burning. May God open your eyes. May God stir your soul. You see, the powers of God and not of us. Sad stories make people weep. This is not a sad story. My friend, this is a reality. This is something that could take place in that little experience of yours. It will never take place in mine, thank God. Not because of anything that I have done, but all because of what the Savior upon the cross has done for me. He suffered for our sin, the just for the unjust, that he may bring us to God. In 1 Peter 3, verse 18, we have a tragedy brought before us. Here is an innocent man slain for those that were guilty, that the guilty ones might be set free. Now in the province where I live, there is a judicial system, and they have been going into things because there was a young man there by the name of Donald Marshall. He spent 11 years in prison for a crime that he did not commit. And that has been the theme for this past 2 years. And these judges and men have been probing into it. Why? An innocent man shared 11 years in prison for a murder that he did not commit. But old friend, tonight, what about the Savior of sinners? What about the Lord Jesus Christ? He did no sin. He knew no sin. In him there was no sin. As God looked down from heaven, sin and corruption abounded in every heart but one. There was one who was sinless, who brought delight to God. God opened heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God is well pleased with his Son, yet he allowed him to be taken and by wicked hands crucified and slain. Why? For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he may bring us to God. Calvary's cross was no afterthought with God. It was in the divine counsels of God that the innocent victim, led as a lamb to the slaughter, and like a sheep dumb before her shearer, yet he opened not his mouth. Why did Christ die? Young lady tonight, why did Christ die? Boy tonight, girl, man, woman, why did the Lord Jesus die upon the cross? I can say in truth, it was for me. Yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free. O wondrous love, I'll surely sing. He died for me, my Lord the King. Proverbs 29 and verse 1. Many have experienced this sudden death. Last Friday night on the Nanaimo, a few blocks over here, there were two people, and they experienced sudden death. But what we have read tonight, he that being often reproved, that is those that have been dealt with by God, those that have had the offer of salvation. Have you ever had the offer of salvation before? Has God by His Spirit ever showed you that you need salvation and that Christ died upon the cross for sins not His own, and yet you have failed to put your trust in Him for eternity? Many want to sit in a gospel meeting. They have been dealt with by God. They have left that meeting, disturbing their souls, and said, I'll never be back. And some haven't come back. But friend, tonight, if you are interested in the salvation of your soul, you are interested in the greatest matter of all time, because your soul is at stake. The devil desires to have you, that you might be damned. Christ has died that you might be saved. What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ in the meeting tonight, or you leave this place? I remember a young man coming to meetings we had in a place called Nineveh in Nova Scotia. He had been brought up in a Christian home, hadn't attended meetings for 5 years after he got married. And when we started the gospel, preached the gospel in that little community again, he was invited. The first week he didn't come. But the second Sunday night he and his wife came and listened to the gospel. I read this verse in Proverbs 29 and verse 1. Mr. Hallover preached with me. He read from Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I don't remember anything I said in that meeting, but when I came back after leaving some people home after the meeting, Mr. Hull phoned me, says, you better come over. Joseph Back is here. I went over and there sat that young man in his 20s, wanting God's salvation. Hadn't been in a meeting for 5 years. Why did he want salvation? God had spoken to him. He operated a backhoe. And for 2 weeks before we started the meeting, he was digging a trench where men were laying pipes. One man was down laying the pipes and he was digging. All of a sudden the banks caved in. And that man was covered. It was his lot for to dig him out. And as he was digging as fast as he could to get his workmate out from underneath that soil, whenever he was brought out, that young man was in eternity. God spoke to him. Whenever he heard this verse read, he that being often reproved, his mind went back over his life. The many times he sat in Sunday school and listened to the Word of God. The many times he sat in a gospel meeting and listened to the Word of God. But friend, he applied the Word to his own soul. You see, how do you fit into this verse? Have you been often reproved? Have you heard the gospel before, time and again? He that being often reproved, she that being often reproved, hardeneth her neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Without remedy, without any hope. Joseph Back, those words gripped his soul. He says, I'm not sleeping tonight until I get saved. You know, it was after midnight when light from heaven shone in on that young man's soul. He got salvation. His wife got saved. And now his two children, his boy and his girl, are all saved by sovereign grace. Why? Because he applied the word. Would you take it to yourself tonight? Search your soul. Does this fit me? Do I fit in here? Have I been often reproved? Is this my attitude, hardening my neck against God and the gospel? Dangerous business. Mr. Joyce and I had meetings in Labrador, Lanseluce. The year before we went, Mr. McElwain and Mr. Hollett meeting in that very village. There were two girls, teenagers, attended those meetings. Those two girls were troubled about their soul. The brethren thought, well, they're going to get saved. They're so troubled. They want salvation. They're going to get it. But they didn't. Those meetings closed. During the summer months, one of them had a boyfriend in Newfoundland. It's an hour and a half or so from Labrador to the island of Newfoundland. So they went over, both of them, for to see one of them's boyfriend and the other to visit relatives. They met the boyfriend. And they got their cousin. There was three girls and a boy in the car. They came down one night for to get the ferry again across the Labrador. One of the Christians, he was staying in a motel there. And he offered these two girls, three girls, his motel that they may sleep in it. They said, no, we'll stay up all night. So they were in the car during the night. That dear Christian went to bed. The next morning, before 7 o'clock, the ferry leaves at 8, he took a walk down the wharf, down beside the ferry. He walked right to the end of that wharf. And he looked into the water. He saw a sight that startled him. He saw four hands. He saw two faces. Two faces of two girls, who only a short time before had sat in gospel meetings, anxious to be saved, troubled about their souls. They were drowned in the back of that car. Somehow, for some reason, that young man drove the car over the end of the wharf. Four young people were ushered out into eternity. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. It has taken place multitudes of times. You can't play fast and loose with the things of God. Can you go against God and win? That's impossible. You may think you're winning for a while, but the end result, my friend, you'll be the loser. No, what a loser. The tragedy of sudden death without a Savior, after having the offer of salvation. We read of King Agrippa. Here's all the pomp of the day gathered. The king and all the officers around. In there is brought a prisoner, a man bound with chains. And as this man relates the story of his conversion to God, have you got a conversion to God? Do you have a time when, a place where, in a manner how that you get saved? Paul had, and he told it. And he told it many times. And as he was telling of the goodness and grace of God to him, Festus said, he was a governor, Paul, much learning doth make thee mad. I says, I'm not mad, most noble Festus. I'm only speaking forth the words of truth. God has saved my soul, delivered me from going down to hell, and I'm rejoicing in that great salvation. Are you rejoicing in that tonight? Then he turns to King Agrippa. He says, Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Do you hear the pause? Listen to the pause. Believest thou the prophets? No answer. Then Paul says, I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa speaks and he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost persuaded. Friend, what a dangerous place. What a tragedy to be almost persuaded to become a Christian and miss it. You could be almost persuaded and yet miss out on this great salvation. King Agrippa was. You could come close to salvation and miss it. Lot's wife came close. She was on the way. Why did she perish? Because she lingered. I believe there's souls in this meeting, and you're lingering. You know that you should be saved. You know the most important matter under heaven is the salvation of your soul. Yet you're lingering. Why did King Agrippa linger? His love for sin. His love for his pleasure. He didn't want to miss all that. You see, you can't have your sin and salvation. That's impossible. You cannot serve God on the one hand and serve yourself and mammon on the other. That cannot be. King Agrippa had a choice to make. But oh, the solemnity of coming near to salvation and missing it. It may be as you think back in your life. There were times when you were younger, maybe in Sunday school, whenever the plan of salvation was made clear to you, and yet you missed it. Friend, what have you missed? The salvation of God. You could come close and yet miss it. Our brother mentioned one night a disaster at Spring Hill, Nova Scotia, a coal mine disaster. There's a dear woman lives there in Spring Hill, and her husband, he was involved in one of those disasters. But as an explosion had taken place, men got their minds together and they wondered how they were going to stop the spread of these gases that had made this explosion. They decided that they would build a wall, a cement wall at the end, and block off this mine altogether. Carpenters went to work and they built a form in a short time. 10 inches of cement was poured, and there it was left. About 9 months later, they thought they might take a look in and see what happened, where the gases went in that mine. Whenever they took that wall down, they were amazed. There were the remains of 12 men. 12 men making their way back to safety, making their way back to the top, and they were stopped by 10 inches of concrete, put there by man. Now that's coming close. They were within 10 inches of safety, but they perished. You could come close to salvation. Judas Iscariot kissed the door of heaven and went down to hell, almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on the alcove. We trust that's not the language of your heart. Then be read from Revelation chapter 20. Here is a solemn scene. A soul that has listened to the gospel and has the upper offer of salvation, that had been almost persuaded to trust Christ in their lifetime, but they didn't. Dying in their sin, they come to the great white throne judgment. Then we read that they're cast into the lake of fire. Can you think tonight of something, a greater tragedy than a soul being cast into the everlasting burning? Friend, what about your soul? Unsaved in this meeting, what about your soul? That will be your outcome if you miss Christ as your personal Savior. But we read from 1 Peter 3. Do you want to be saved? More than everything else in this world, we have been reminded tonight, ye shall seek me and find me. When? When you search for me with all your heart. You could be half-hearted, no good. You could be three-quarter-hearted, no good. My friend, it's with all your heart. You need to search for salvation. Are you searching with all your heart? What's God's promise to those who are? Ye shall seek me and find me. If you search with all your heart, God's promise is, he will be found of you. Are you searching? How can a person be saved? 1 Peter 3, verse 18. For Christ hath also once suffered for sin. Where did he suffer for sin? Upon the cross. He was the sinless one. He was the just one who took the place of us, the unjust one, that he might bring us to God. Here's substitution. What does that big word mean? Very simple. One person taking the place of another, that the guilty one might go free. Christ himself, he took my place. He suffered for my sin. He bare the punishment that was due to me. What for? That I might go free. Why did Christ die? He died to save my soul from going down to hell. What about your soul tonight? Put your claim in. There was a man by the name of Scammell. In the 1800s he lived and he was a leader. He made a law, and if anyone broke that law, they would receive 100 lashes. That was a punishment. The first one to break his law was his mother. He got all the people of the island together to come and witness his word, because his mother, even though it was his mother, had broken his law. She was going to be punished by being lashed. Her back was bared. The lash came down 5 times. Scammell shouted, "Halt!" He bared his back. He set his mother aside. He took 95 lashes. Quite a punishment. But after he had taken the lashes, his mother was free. She only took 5, but he took 95 for her, and she was free because the judgment was carried out. Better still, friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, he bore it all in love and bondage, but none can know. He passed through death and gloriously confounded our every foe. He bare all the punishment that was due to me and due to the sinner who is willing to take their place. Remember, Paul said, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He died that I might live. He died because he loved me so. Christ hath once suffered for who? One dear man said, if he suffered for my sin, he had a lot to suffer for. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The enormity of the sin of the world laid upon the Savior. Your little mind or mine could never take it in. Dying crushed beneath the load of the wrath and curse of God. Why, friend, in love to you, in love to me, how can you reject him? How can you refuse such a Savior tonight? God offers you salvation by putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, by depending upon the blood that was shed to keep you, a poor, lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner, out of hell. Will you trust him? Will you give God the credit for telling the truth? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. May you do it tonight.
for his name's sake, shall we pray.